Today is August 26th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover how the Genius Act stablecoin framework is quietly becoming a treasury funding mechanism, Colorado's first in the nation AI mortgage law, and a $4.3 billion liquidation event in crypto derivatives that landed the same week the SEC dropped a 402-page market structure proposal. The most significant structural shift right now isn't a rate decision, it's who's left to buy the debt. Analysis circulating on Andre Jick's channel frames stablecoin issuers as structural buyers for a slice of the roughly $1.4 trillion in net treasury issuance due over the next 6 months, precisely as foreign central banks retreat from long-dated U.S. paper. The 10-year yield climbed from 3.9% to 4.7% within months, and the 30-year hit its highest level since 2007. Layer in central bank gold accumulation at multi-decade highs, and you're looking at a market voting with its feet against long-duration dollar debt. The broader fintech pattern here is that stablecoin collateralization requirements, originally sold as consumer protection, are increasingly functioning as demand-side plumbing for sovereign debt markets. That's not a side effect. It's becoming the policy's load-bearing function. Underneath that, credit growth itself is decelerating. Economist Steve Keen, speaking to Kitco News, points to aggregate U.S. private sector debt near 150% of GDP, down from a 170% pre-crisis peak, but with credit-based demand growth now running 4-6%, nowhere near the 15.4% peak from the third quarter of 2006. Housing confirms the drag. Existing home sales have averaged under 4.1 million units, seasonally adjusted, for 46 consecutive months. And large bank mortgage originations hit a 12-year low of 581,000 loans in the first quarter of 2026, down 19% quarter over quarter. Looking at the regulatory landscape from the supervisory side, the picture gets stranger. The Fed's 2025 stress test modeled a 39% commercial real estate decline, a 30% home price drop, and 10% unemployment across 32 large banks, and produced only a 1.6 percentage point aggregate capital decline, the smallest since 2020. Keen's read is that the models still treat lending as pure intermediation rather than credit creation, which means the stress tests may be understating exactly the kind of correlated shock we're discussing. Meanwhile, Treasury's own debt management data, cited on Jick's channel, shows 9 consecutive quarters without long bond auction increases, 4-week bill volume doubling from $47 billion to $94 billion since 2016, and the buyback program doubling past $4 billion. That's a deliberate shift toward short-duration financing, now roughly 22% of debt outstanding, funded at about 4% to retire 3.4% long-dated debt. For any bank or fintech running asset liability management, that's a flashing signal to stress test against negative real rate scenarios now, not later. On the capital market side, the visual worth flagging is the divergence between legacy origination economics and digital asset infrastructure growth. Embedded finance reached $2.6 trillion in payment volume in 2024, compounding at 25% annually, while stablecoin market cap expanded past $160 billion from roughly $120 billion in 2023. Tokenized real-world assets crossed $12 billion on-chain, up 85% year-over-year, with Ondo Finance alone processing over $600 million in tokenized treasuries. Gold-linked tokens like Paxos Gold and Tether Gold are scaling as inflation hedges, as spot gold has run from roughly $2,000 to $4,000 an ounce. The broader fintech pattern here is capital migrating toward programmable, yield-bearing rails faster than traditional deposit products can respond. BlackRock's Biddle Fund and Franklin Templeton's Benji Fund are both explicitly competing for that deposit migration flow. Contrast that with brick-and-mortar origination math, $11,898 in cost per loan against production profit of just $727, or 16 basis points. That's the backdrop against which J.P. Morgan committed $750 billion over 10 years, Citigroup pledged $60 billion toward 250,000 homes, and Bank of America has deployed $15 billion since 2019, supply-side bets that seem to be paying off, with J.P. Morgan's mortgage volume up 29% year-over-year to $52.8 billion. Meanwhile, originators have cut over 50,000 loan officer roles industry-wide since refinance share collapsed from 65% to under 15% of volume. In derivatives, Direction's leveraged semiconductor ETF carries roughly $35 billion in AUM, implying about $100 billion in effective exposure. And a leveraged Lucid Motors product was wound down this week after the underlying stock fell more than 50% intraday, a clean illustration of structural investor protection gaps in daily reset products. Even as spot Bitcoin ETFs pulled in $2.6 billion in a single week, the strongest haul in about a year. Colorado Senate Bill 26189 is the regulatory story to watch closely. The first state law imposing AI and automated decision-making documentation and human review mandates on mortgage lenders, effective January 1, 2027. Industry groups are already pressing for clarity on undefined terms like material influence, and this lands directly on top of that 16 basis point profit margin we just discussed. Compounding the compliance load, seven federal agencies jointly rescinded the 2022 Safe Harbor for special purpose credit programs, and the OCC's new escrow preemption rule is now facing an Administrative Procedure Act challenge filed by 10 state attorneys general. On digital assets, the SEC's 402-page market structure proposal arrived alongside White House meetings between Chair Atkins, CFTC Chair Selig, and crypto executives, a signal that federal engagement is shifting from enforcement posture toward rulemaking. Internationally, the picture diverges further. The EU AI Act's high-risk classification takes effect this year and could require $3 to $8 million in conformity costs for consumer-facing financial AI at platform scale, while sanctions-driven de-dollarization is pushing U.S. allies toward alternative settlement rails entirely outside SWIFT. One risk deserves close attention going forward. AI infrastructure debt is emerging as its own credit category, sitting outside standard stress testing frameworks. Hyperscalers borrowed over $410 billion in 2025, and QTS Realty issued $3.9 billion in investment-grade bonds tied to a Microsoft-linked facility at 7.23%, a 253 basis point spread that already prices in refinancing risk, given 3 to 4 year GPU depreciation cycles colliding with covenants built for real estate collateral. The offsetting opportunity is credit access expansion. FICO 10T and Vantage Score 4.0, now jointly backed by all five major bureaus, could push 7.7 million consumers above the 620 FICO threshold. Notable, given that a third of prospective homebuyers say they'd walk from a lender still relying on legacy scoring alone. So here's the FinTech thesis update. The center of gravity is shifting from rate speculation to structural plumbing. Who buys the debt, who bears the compliance cost, and who controls the credit rails? Stablecoins are being drafted into sovereign financing. State-level AI mandates are arriving faster than federal clarity. And credit scoring modernization is turning into a genuine competitive differentiator rather than a back-office upgrade. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.